on national board meeting on April 26th. Somebody mute your phone, please. Downtown. Sorry to listen to the public, whoever's out there. All right, so Pacifica National Board meeting of April 26, 2012, convening at 5:42 p.m. Pacific time, 8:42 p.m. Eastern time. Summary chair, Bill, vice chair of Kiowan Gaza, secretary. This is a continuation meeting of our meeting 2 weeks ago, so after we call the roll, we will go ahead and dive back in at the point we left off in our last. Secretary, call the roll.
Okay.
That's a lot of interference from somewhere.
Well, that's me.
Thank you, Arlene. Yes, well, just to reiterate, if there is someone who has not muted his or her phone, please, out of consideration for your colleagues, please mute your phones. It sounds better now. Thank you. And try to be mindful of that. If you're not trying to be recognized, please just keep your phone on mute. Thank you.
And Karen? Here. Ivan Alsame?
Here.
Teresa Allen?
Present.
Nia Bediaco?
Present.
Wesley Bethune? Can't hear you, Wesley. Carolyn Burden? Can't hear you, Carolyn. Lydia Brisson?
Here. Carolyn is here. Thank you.
Lydia Brisson?
Here.
Bill Crozier?
Here.
Kathy Davis?
Here.
Revlon Gold? Can't hear you, Revlon. Heather Gray? Here. Neville Johnson?
Here.
Allie Lexa?
Here.
Ifia Wangaza, present. Laura Priebus?
Here.
Summer Reese?
Present.
Marcel Reed?
Here.
George Ryder?
Here.
J.C. Rosenberg?
Here.
Dan Siegel? Can hear you. Alex Steinberg?
Present.
Andrea Turner? Andrea Turner? Can hear you, Andrea. Arlene Engelhardt?
Present.
Laverne Williams?
Present.
Thank you. We have quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Okay, so this is a continuation meeting. I know we had discussed at our last meeting setting aside time specific to the approval of the minutes, but because it's a continuation meeting, we're not going backwards 2 minutes. That'll actually come up in 2 weeks at the May 10th meeting. So where we had left off previously was under time-sensitive issues, and we handled the WPFW local election board matter. And the next thing was on there was a brief discussion of the upcoming Pacifica our elections, not the national elections externally, but our internal board elections. And it just had 10 minutes allocated. There's no motion on the floor. It was executive director wanted to discuss, and several of us have wanted to discuss, and that is where we left off in the agenda. So, and then after that, it's the committee reports in the order on the agenda, I believe. Development is at the top there. I'll take another look at that. So, I don't know if, Arlene, if you want to lead off on this, or if I should just, I mean, I think I can at least preface by saying that we're all aware that Pacifica is in a financial position that many nonprofits find themselves in, which is quite precarious in the present economic times. And our elections are quite expensive, but mandated by the bylaws. So I think that was basically where the discussion wanted to go. Arlene, do you want to go ahead and say anything about this. And there is no motion, so it's nothing pending right at the moment, and I think this will be discussed more in the Elections Committee, but we have deadlines in terms of hiring people as well.
Exactly. I just am very concerned where we're going to come up with $250,000 to run an election this year. You know, even if we're sued for not having an election, I don't think that the suit costs would run nearly that high. I think that we need to take some drastic measures. We've been working in this office at trying to figure out what kind of cuts we can make in every division network. We've absolutely got to do some things to begin to cover some of our past expenses and to cover the current expenses as they come up. And we're not doing that. And to add $250,000 to it is a very, for lack of a better word, I'm going to say scary proposition. I totally believe in being a democratic organization, and I totally support the fact that we, you know, need to have elected board members and so forth. I think that we could use some bylaws changes on some of that to perhaps make it a little less expensive and a little more workable, but those aren't going to happen in time for this year's election. So that's where I'm coming from.
Thank you, Arlene. Is there anyone who wants to discuss any kind of stack for discussion?
This is Leah.
I'll ask George for the stack.
Okay, Lydia, then George.
I think my concern is that, you know, 2 weeks ago we had a report from the CFO. We were still hearing about surpluses, a few shortfalls, but we didn't hear anything about not being able to have these elections, and these elections, we passed a budget to facilitate this. So the only way that mathematically that I can come up with this is that we are, what, $250,000 shorter than we were when we passed the budget that we didn't know about? Are there $250,000 worth of expenses that we don't know about? I understand that our fund drive numbers are weaker than expected, but that's a huge amount, and inconsistent with what we heard from the CFO. So did something happen that we don't know about? I mean, I don't think it's feasible to not have the elections, but if you can respond to that, thank you.
Campbell for a stack.
Bill for the stack.
Alex for the stack.
Okay, I've got Campbell and I have Alex after George.
Stack.
I'm sorry, who is that?
Wesley, I wanted noted that I was on the call.
Oh, thank you, Wesley. Okay, so noted. Thank you. And Arlene and LeBarn, could you maybe just take notes so we can try to keep in our time frames the questions regarding the money, and then after people, I think, ask their questions, then we could come back, and that way they could, you know, answer at once. George, you're next, and then Campbell, and then Alex. Thank you. Go ahead.
Tracy, please, for the staff.
As an intermediate position between spending $250,000 and not having election, I would suggest we take seriously the possibility of doing these by electronically. We cut the mailing costs enormously. I know people have concerns about the security of that, but as far as I could tell, in the last election, when this was considered in some detail, it would seem clear to me that it was quite possible to do the election electronically just as securely as you could do it with paper ballots. And I think we need to get over our prejudices about that and at least investigate whether we can reduce the cost to something we can actually afford that way. And so I don't really want to make a motion at this point, but I certainly would suggest that the election committee take it up or bring it up again, because I know they considered it last year.
Okay, or maybe we can revisit it. Maybe we can just have, you know, a little brief discussion with people's thoughts, and if it seems appropriate to make a motion, because that is a simple thing to at least investigate. Campbell, you're next, and then Alex, and then Tracy.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. The
My first point would be one that would have to counter George's. I can understand the well-intentioned notion that he has in this regard, but I think that it's going to be a slippery slope, that once we get onto it, there will be all sorts of rationalizations for us to continue in this fashion. And I think that, you know, in this country, we still have a digital divide, and what will be taking place is that some people will be disenfranchised from it, from the process, because of the using computers. And that's just going to be a reality, and that will be an easier thing to occur as time goes on. Next year, of course, we will be running rather close, or next time around, we'll be running rather close, and there will be other things that we would have budgeted for that would take precedence. The big problem that we have, I believe, is that we are not getting timely reports, and we aren't getting reports that give us the kind of management information in a timely fashion so that we can act in real time on things. And this is something that, you know, it's been previously recommended. You can look on the old agendas and you'll see it as one of the rules that, we should adopt. And this is one point where the rubber meets the road. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Kathy on the stack, please.
Thank you, Campbell. Alex is next, and then Tracy, and then Kathy. Thank you. Go ahead, Alex.
Okay. Andrea checking in.
Thank you, Andrea.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, Alex.
Marcel for the stack.
May I speak now?
Yes, please, go ahead.
Okay. One of my colleagues asked previously what unexpected expenses of $250,000 we have. Well, we just got an unexpected expense of $300,000 from the Houston station due to the problems they're having with their transmitter. There's also some unexpected expenses at KPFK. In addition to some serious issues with WPFW's move. So we are in an economic crisis. There's no question about it. I really think we should consider suspending or canceling these elections. I understand that it's contrary to the bylaws and it's contrary to our deep feelings for democratic structure and all that. But it does seem like an incredible expense when we're faced with a financial emergency. I wonder, can we get an opinion from our legal counsel as to what could be the repercussions if we simply cancel the elections or suspend them for a year?
Thank you, Alex. Tracy next, and then Kathy. Go ahead, Tracy.
Well, just to reiterate what Alex said, we were showing at the end of February about a $600,000, organizational surplus throughout the five stations. We found out that the transmitter in Houston blew out. It may cost $200,000 to replace it. We need a new Nautel in KPFK. That's $100,000. And WPFW needs at least $200,000 minimum. They actually need far more than that, but at least to get a start on the capital move that they are going to have to make at the end of the year. There goes your operating surplus right there. So that's the answer to that question, Lydia. In terms of what we should do, I find canceling an election to be a really upsetting prospect. I understand what the numbers indicate, but I cannot in any way say that I would favor such a thing. I mean, this is basically our central organizational bylaws. I mean, this is an important process. We should perhaps go through a process of deciding whether or not we need to have them quite as frequently as we're having them. But I think that we need to go through that process and not short-circuit it. I think George is correct about online voting. That is something we should have implemented in the past 10 years. It's kind of horrible that we didn't. We may have reached a financial situation where we are forced to do so, because we can't afford to print 79,000 ballot books and pieces of paper. And if that's the case, we may need to look at some sort of a delay in order to get ourselves technologically up to speed to have an election that costs $80,000 instead of one that costs $180,000 because we're not printing a pile of ballots and ballot books to hit the ceiling. I will throw that out as one possibility that we might want to discuss going forward. And again, that doesn't even solve our financial problems, but it would be a contribution. Otherwise, I don't know what you do. It's a difficult situation.
Thank you, Tracy. Kathy, you're next. Teresa on the stand.
Yeah.
And
Bill, I've asked several times to be on the stack.
Bill, I'm sorry, I had trouble. I could hear something in the background, but I couldn't hear your voice. Sorry, Bill. Okay, so I'll put you on.
Laura would like to be on the stack too.
Bill was right after Campbell.
Okay, I apologize. I didn't hear his name at all. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm done.
So we've got Kathy, Teresa.
Okay,
Bill.
I'm okay to speak now.
Laura, Marcel, I didn't have you either. So everyone just take a moment. So Kathy, Teresa, Bill, Laura, and Marcel. If there's anybody else, tell me.
Bill before Teresa.
Kathy, Bill before Teresa. Okay, thank you. Well, some other people heard him. Okay, thank you, Teresa. All right, go ahead, Kathy.
Okay. I just wanted to remind everyone that many of the people, in fact, the majority of the people on our board, very eloquently argued that there wasn't enough money within the network for us to have our meetings. And even though that was going against the bylaws, it was argued that it would be necessary to have less meetings, which we did do. And we seemed to survive on that. You know, nothing happened. The roof didn't fall in. The earth didn't crash. We had less meetings. And I think we should consider the same thing with the elections and not force ourselves to have an election in a manner that we can't afford it, because I think the people would be far more upset if, as a consequence of spending this money on the election, we lose the network. So I think we have to prioritize in a very real way, and consider if there really is money to do this election. And if we do, then we have to do it electronically, and not push for the whole paper ballot, the whole election supervisors. I think we have to pare it down if we're going to do it, in order to preserve the network. And anything else would be irresponsible.
And I'm done. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. Bill, you're next, and then Teresa, Laura, and Marcel. Go ahead, Bill. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And by the way, I think we've gone through the 10 minutes allocated, so I move to extend time another 5 minutes. Or while we finish the stack. Excuse me. Until we finish the stack.
I'm sorry. Who is objecting to what with the stack?
I'm not objecting to anything.
I said without objection.
Stack.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I thought there was... Okay, Afia. Yes, of course. Thank you. Yeah, no, I just want us to share our thoughts, because it's a big issue that we need to resolve as a board and a network. Go ahead, Bill, please. It's your turn.
Okay, well, what I was going to say first was, I have something else to say, but since we've gone through the 10 minutes, I move that we extend... to complete the stack, but a maximum of 5 minutes. And I'll be brief.
Okay.
The last election cost $244,000. Excuse me, the last election cost $157,000. The one before that cost $244,000. So we knocked about $90,000 off of it last time. Some of you may have seen an earlier spreadsheet floating around, but it was by fiscal year, not elections. So I think it is possible to save money, and I agree with George and other people. We should be looking at other ways of saving money. I'll just mention one example. We do things the most expensive way possible by having the ballot counting at each of the five stations. There's no requirement of the bylaws to do that. Every other nonprofit organization that has, they get a professional to count their mail-in ballots or electronic ballots. They have them all counted centrally in one location. They don't have to shuttle people around all over the country, moving equipment and paying per diem and airfare and renting space and all this stuff. So that's just one possibility to consider. But I think we should send our suggestions to the Elections Committee, and I'll save the rest of my comments.
Can I make a point of order?
Thank you, Bill. What's your point of order, Tracy?
The $244,000 being quoted in 2009 includes printing and sending all of the ballots for WBAI twice, which is what happened in that year. But it's an uncharacteristically high sum. It is more like $160,000 to $180,000.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, excellent. Next on the stack is we've got Teresa, then we have Laura, Marcella, and Afia, and that's everyone who's asked to speak thus far. So go ahead, Teresa. Thank you.
My idea is that if we send a solicitation out by mail, if we send a ballot out by mail, every ballot that goes out should include a solicitation for a donation. And we have made some significant amounts of money, and I think that this solicitation should be persuasive, and it should be a marketing thing in every ballot. And I think that we can significantly cut down the cost of our ballot if we only gave everybody a paragraph and referred everyone to a website to read more detailed information on the candidate. So we might actually get, I mean, I received a solicitation from a local PBS radio station. They paid 9 cents postage on that, and I don't understand why we're paying, I mean, more than a dollar on some of them. They're so heavy. So I am talking to the Elections Committee about that. I believe that we should seriously consider electronic voting. I think that we should seriously consider cutting the hours of the staff. When we first talked about going STV, KPFA had had some elections, I think, and this was done by volunteers, but it's so complicated that somehow we got into the mode where we have to pay people, and I think that if we start with our hiring of our employees in spring, there should be some times when there's less work, when it's not a full-time employee. I mean, every year we should be able to learn to streamline some things, and I think that if you're hiring somebody and you tell them up front, you know, we're only going to be paying you half time in this month because you're not really doing that much, that would cut it down. We need to be learning every year, and I think that because we're doing it by committee and volunteer, sometimes we're not that efficient. So all of those ideas, and maybe we can ask the Elections Committee to consider all of these ideas and report back to the PNB. With the ideas that we think are feasible. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Laura, you're next, followed by Marcel and Afia, and then we're done with the stack, and we'll move to the next subject. Okay, go ahead, Laura.
Okay, I just wanted to echo Campbell that this has kind of come out of the blue, and I do think we need to have more clear reports of our finances since we're in such a crisis on a really regular basis to the board. And I wondered, Arlene, if you could tell me what, I think we need to do whatever we can do to reduce our expenses in an election and other places, like maybe not having another in-person meeting, maybe only having one in-person meeting a year for this board. But Arlene, you mentioned that you would want to have some bylaws changes potentially to make elections cheaper. Can you tell me what bylaws changes you had in mind?
Thank you, Laura. Rather than having her interrupt the stack, do you have any other questions? And then I want to give Arlene and Lamar, this is an important topic. We're a little over, but not too badly, to answer just a couple of brief questions. Okay, so did you have anything other besides what the bylaws changes are, a specific question?
No, that's it.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Okay, Marcel and Afia, and then Arlene and LeVarne can respond, and then we'll move on. Thank you. Marcel?
Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. Go ahead, please.
I'd like to know, in the last five election cycles, have we ever had an election that was not comma election followed by a lawsuit?
That's an excellent question. Thank you, Marty.
So I think when we factor in the cost, we need to factor in the cost of printing and then the cost of the subsequent lawsuit. Maybe we could skip the expense of both this year and find a way to alter our bylaws so that we're more effective in the future. I think we don't see things in the broad spectrum. Thank you.
Thank you. Excellent. Thank you. Afia?
This is Heather. Could I just ask a quick question?
Sure. Let me put you right after Afia. We want to hear from each other. So, yeah, go ahead. Okay. Afia and then Heather.
Okay. I'm kind of in it. I wanted to also raise the point that with regard to electronic voting, that everybody isn't on the internet. And so that has to be taken into account in addition to the cost of litigation for failure to comply with the bylaws. And frankly, even though the other issues may have been, at least one may have been a surprise, and that's the Houston loss of a transmitter, the PFW's moving is not a surprise. It's been a topic of discussion for a significant amount of time, if not my whole number of terms on the board, and therefore to be at this point again is in my opinion a failure of management to have anticipated and at least come up with a plan to propose to address these issues in addition to creating a reserve. So I would be one who would be vigorously opposed to not recognizing the fact that everybody isn't on the internet, as well as the security issues, and that the feeling that the reduction, if not elimination, of PMB meetings has more to do with thwarting the will of the people than of meeting the obligations of the of management and the board meeting its own obligations. Thank you.
Heather?
My question is, if we are talking about having an electronic voting system, this has, of course, been brought up. I'm wanting to know if anyone has an idea of what that would cost. How much would we be saving if we did that?
Is it substantial?
Caroline, yeah. Sachs, please. I know we're late, but...
Okay, go ahead, Caroline.
Yeah, with regard to the last question, there's several mutations of that. The Elections Committee has looked at that. We've gotten some bids. The problem is we have not been able to decide how much of this we want to turn over to an individual. It would be hard to find someone really of Les Radke's probity and experience in this, and how much we want to turn over to a company. So the question of how much it would cost would depend on how much we wanted to invest in the electronic part of it. I'm a very mixed mind to this. I don't want to cancel it. I don't want to do it in a way, however, that is going to be sloppy and set us up for complaints the next time around. So I, too, am somewhat undecided. I have to say that the objections I've heard to electronic balloting are not totally... supportable. There are answers to these questions. There is a digital divide. There are also people who don't read too well and don't read their ballots, their printed ballots, and don't open their mail. So that's another question. There are electronic campaigns. The companies that do this sort of thing have offered to help us with our getting membership up to speed and setting up email accounts and so on. Not email, but internet accounts so that they can vote. And I think that the question really is, I would not depend totally on the Elections Committee. We have some data, but we also have a division. I think the board has to decide if you're going to have a electronic voting, I know that according to the bylaws, we know that this doesn't need a board recommendation, but politically speaking, there's no point in the committee going ahead with our bids and our proposals and so on if, in fact, the PNB does not vote very firmly to direct the committee to prepare for electronic balloting. I think it's not premature. It's very late to do this. It's not impossible. But it's too late to equivocate. So either we do it or we don't, and everyone who says it would be a cost savings is correct. It would be. I also think it would be more secure than some of what we've had go on around around paper balloting. A lot of the lawsuits, not a lot, but some of the lawsuits have been about security issues. So I would urge the board to, if not tonight, then at the very next meeting, to pass a very strong resolution in favor of electronic balloting in the least expensive way. The only other problem, as Arlene points out, is that the money is not available to earmark for this. And so the board will have to address both of those questions. But that would be my recommendation. Thank you.
We're out of time.
Thank you, Carolyn. I'm sorry, who was that?
Bill, okay. We're out of time.
Thank you, Bill. I apologize. You know, we jumped right into the meeting, which is good because it's a continuation meeting, and I had meant to say something at the beginning, but we didn't do any of that. But Carolyn brought his name to mind. The listening public may not be aware, but Les Radke, who served as the Pacifica National Election Supervisor for multiple elections and was deeply involved with Pacifica, passed away last weekend and will be deeply missed by the Pacifica community. And as memorial arrangements are made, I know Arlene is going to let us know so that we can send our
Arlene,
so
is next.
So, yes, Arlene, you're next, actually. So I just wanted to recognize that important passage in our larger community.
The memorial service will be on June 23rd at a school in Richmond. I'm assuming it's the school at which Les taught. Afternoon of June 23rd. His wife stopped by yesterday with information for us.
Thank you. Okay, well, if you could maybe kindly send that out to the board, I'm sure people, and we should send something officially, I think, from Pacifica as well. Arlene, if you want to go ahead and we are out of time, but do you want to add to answer any of those specific questions for LaVarne and any of those issues brought up? And I know Carolyn covered several things there. So it is going to take some directive here as to how we move forward this year. That's obvious.
Carolyn made some good points, and so has everyone else. And I'm certainly not against us canceling or whatever Pacifica elections forever. I think it's very important, the whole democratic aspect of this organization, and I also am aware of the history and some of the things that have happened in the past and the reasons that it's moved in the direction that it has. That said, we do have some of this has evolved, and LaVarne can give more details or better to do a better job of details on the finances, so I'm not going to spend much time. But we've both, at every station except New York, we've been coming in significant percentages below what was estimated in terms of listener contributions as well as in some other areas. And so we are several hundred thousand dollars short in terms of income over what we had estimated for this point in the year. And even though we were showing we did show a slight surplus, as of the six-month point, you have to remember that we have three major fund drives a year, and two of those happen in the first half of the year. So we only have one major fund drive still to go. We do have a mini, but we also had a mini at most stations in the first part of the year. So we are always in the position that if we're not significantly ahead at 6 months, we're in real trouble by the end of the year. And yes, the situation at T was completely unexpected, but we've also run into additional expenses at K that were not totally expected, and we dealt with some of those, and I have a much better understanding of that after the meeting we had today. with PFW, yes, we've been dealing with the fact that we needed to move and that we needed the funds, but we didn't expect some of the issues that have come up there, and that has significantly affected their fundraising this year. And so they have not come through with what they had expected to in terms of raising dollars for their move. We still have the continuing issues at WBAI that we've, you know, had for years. And so all of those enter into it from the financial standpoint. From the standpoint of the bylaws question, I think that there are ways, you know, I'm not governance, so it's not my position really to be making these suggestions, but it seems to me that we could be a more effective organization if our PNB members served for 2 years and if we structured elections such that we had them every 2 years instead of two out of every three. And I think there'd be ways to do that and still not have everybody turn over at once. You know, there have also a number of members of this board have come to me and said, how would you feel about the idea of possibly trying to get a bylaws amendment to reduce the size of the board, say to three per station instead of four? You know, any expert on meetings will tell you that 22 people is way too many to try to have effective meetings with. So those are a couple of the issues that at least I think about, even though they're really your issues to deal with, not mine. And Laverne, I think you're the one to weigh in more on the finances.
Hello, Laverne's here. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes, okay. Go ahead, Laverne.
Okay.
Thank you, Arlene.
When we were talking about the finances and the reports, let me just state that when we developed our budget, that was in September, and this year, or when we received our audit we received our audit earlier in the year. But in that audit, there was the comment about Pacifica and the concern about us continuing to be a going concern based on our working capital and the fact that we show that we have major payables. And those payables are still there. You know, that comment on the going concern, the audit for fiscal year 2011 has not been completed. If we want to show on our audit or the comments by our auditor that we are working toward paying down those major payables that you've all seen, they're still there. They haven't been reduced. They're about the same level. If we want to show that we are actually working toward reducing those payables, reestablishing our positive working capital, we have to do certain things. And one of those things that we would need to do would be to, at this time, is that the choice. Do we want to continue to be a network to move forward? Or do we want to have this audit report saying that, you know, there's a serious danger of us continuing as a network, as a foundation? So in this case, we have to seriously consider the information that we were given last year. And that is that we must reduce these costs, these payables, in order for our audit report will not produce a point on there like it was last year. And, you know, we have done the five-year plan. We have given that to the auditor. We have the results. We got the final results yesterday. I sent them to the auditor. We discussed them today. And as Tracy had mentioned, for March year-to-date, the numbers are, the income is about $400,000. Net surplus for the first 6 months of the year. But also, as Arlene said, we have one major fundraiser left, and that those funds will have to carry us through until the next major fundraiser, which is in October. So at this point, you know, we have serious things to consider, and that And if we don't consider those now and go forward with an election, which will increase our payables, and we will run the risk of getting the stain again in terms of moving forward in terms of our credit, and in terms for the world to see, which is part of our audit report. And the other issues that have come up, like with the transmitter and antenna problems at KPFG due to an act of God, those are serious things that we have to consider. And we had said the PFW move was in the budget. They had some serious goals that they were trying to reach in terms of raising funds. That hasn't happened. So, therefore, we need to decide. And as someone said, and I'll say the same thing, if we look at our elections over the last cycles, there is always a lawsuit that comes out of the election. So either you face the lawsuit now before spending $200,000, or you face the lawsuit after spending $200,000. But I think bottom line comes down to your audit report, and that we have not reduced the payables. We have to show that this foundation, understanding the bylaws, but also, as Kathy said, we have reduced our in-person meetings. That was a bylaws requirement that we must consider. I think you must consider, and consider it in the light of your audit report, and that if you want to see that same point on this year's audit report, we need to show that we are doing something to reduce these payables and not creating more expenses that we cannot handle. Because we have one major payable, all of you know who it is, our major programming. There is no big, that has to be reduced. And one other little caveat in terms of our income, we have not received our CPB funding because of the delay in the audit. So this is all swirling around one thing. You have a decision to make. You've been given this information by your auditor. You have to consider it. That do we want that on this year's audit, or do we want to continue to show this auditor that the foundation is doing things to actually reduce these major payables and to continue toward creating a surplus at the end of the year? Thank you.
Thank you, LaVon. It hasn't been resolved. I do think it would be helpful if the Elections Committee were able to come back with some quotes on doing it electronically for the board's consideration. So I don't know when you all are meeting again, or if some of those things, if they've already been obtained, maybe could be forwarded to the board. But
Lydia.
Just to facilitate discussion. Lydia?
I just want to say there are aspects of this larger subject. This is not just about the elections. Obviously, we have a very serious problem. Some things were unexpected. And I think that we would be remiss not to go into executive session. It was announced. It was a notice meeting. And because I would like to reserve the right to ask about certain contractual obligations that I think could be reconsidered that would save us an inordinate amount of money. But we never have those kinds of discussions. And,
sure.
It's been raised.
Facilitate that. I had sent something around, and there was a little discussion before we went on the stream. Our attorney will be with us next week, and we're going to have longer executive session there. Is it something that do you feel it could wait until May 2nd? It's 6 days from now.
I don't really think so, given the information that we just got, and it was a notice meeting.
Okay.
These informal discussions do not take the place of the full board voting on whether we have an executive session tonight or not. I'm not suggesting a lengthy one, just so that we can ask certain things that might require management to produce some documents that we can look at.
I would just probably want to keep us on things of a financial and management type perspective and not stray into things which may involve legal counsel in terms of making any decision if we should be getting some, legal
input. Of course.
So, that's all. I just want to keep it. So probably pretty short.
As long as we have one, because there are some
that
things
would prep
we could
for...
consider.
Sure. Yeah, I don't see that as a problem. That would prep for next week also when we have a longer
We're way over time. We're about 30 minutes. Over time.
This is Nia.
Nia. I know, Bill. Okay, Nia. please. Let's say
hello. Can you hear me? I cut off again.
This is Ivan.
Got Nia and Wesley. All right, go ahead, Nia.
Yeah. I agree with Lydia wholeheartedly. And when Levine said that it is the board responsibility, I sincerely hope that all the directors heard that. I can only think of one thing, though, which is our responsibility. But we could go into that in executive session. And in terms of the audit, I mean, it to me, I don't know about anybody else, it sounds like it is too late anyway. It is almost June. We don't have the audit. And we're hearing all of this financial bad news. We've been hearing it all along. And like Campbell, I've been saying, we don't get the reports. I asked for a report last month. It's sent to the Finance Committee. But not all 22 of us are on the Finance Committee. We should be getting these reports. And she is right. It is the board's responsibility. So I do agree.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. I don't think there'll be any strong objection. I've just got to keep it very narrowly focused, and like, as I said, regarding legal issues. But we could have a specific list of reports that the board would like to have by next week's meeting, and that would help us to make better decisions at next week's meeting as well. Wesley? Did you wish to?
Excuse me. Yes, I'd like to move the agenda.
Thank you. So kind of you. That's what Bill was trying to do, too. Okay, so the next thing on the agenda is committee reports, which I believe development is the first one on there. Heather, are you prepared to move forward? There was a motion regarding our publicist, which has been languishing, and I'm sure there's no reason, you know. And then we have George's motion on programming, the next one after that. So, Heather, if you are able to
unmute. Yeah, just a minute. You are. I was on.
Okay.
Yes. Just
no problem.
Moment. Just a moment here. This was on the agenda. I just have to open this up again. I apologize.
I'm sorry. I didn't pre-warn you there.
No, it's no problem. So this is something actually that was passed by the KPFK LSC some time ago. Development Committee considered it as well, and it's that I'm going to read this. The PMB authorizes acquiring 6 unpaid publicists within 30 days of the present day to work at each of the 5 stations and 1 head publicist to coordinate at national office. It's sort of in concert with what we've been talking about in the Development Committee, which is to reach out to the community beyond the listening audience, actually, to try to bring in some additional listeners. So that is the motion. And I think, based on what I'm hearing around the Pacifica network, generally is that, you know, we really do need to consider ways to reach out to new audiences, bring in new people, and explore ways, actually, to expand our listening audience. And the feeling is this is one of the ways to do that. So that is the motion. So is there any discussion?
Thank you, Heather. Is there a discussion?
Yes.
Campbell.
And
George.
And then George. Go ahead,
Campbell. I'm on. Hello?
Yes. Go ahead, Campbell.
Oh, okay. Thank you. We aren't looking for a total of 30 people. It's a total of 6, where 1 would be assigned to each of the 5 stations. 1 person would act as the head publicist. So, you know, just so that the language is clear on that. And I was wondering one thing. Are we getting or can we get a development task force, you know, email call-in with call-in information?
What's your question?
The second thing is with regard to getting call-in information regarding development task force. I didn't get anything pertaining to last Thursday's meeting.
Oh, you didn't? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Campbell.
I didn't discover until later that evening.
Yeah, it was a small meeting. There were like 4 of us, huh?
So
it was there about five of us actually. But I apologize for that. I have no explanation for that. So
point of order, Madam Chair, we're off topic.
Yeah,
no,
thank
it's
you.
On motion. And
so,
I call the question.
Okay, thank you. Did George have something he wanted to input besides calling the question?
No, I just hope that the appropriate person who does this can, you know, make sure that all of the persons who are signed up for Development Task Force will be getting the notice of it, because I know that they're, I don't think I was alone.
Well, I think we can check with, you know, that's automated. Even whoever the chair is doesn't send out the notices, so we can double check with John to make sure the list is accurate.
Okay.
Point of information, please. Carolyn here.
Yes. Carolyn?
Yes. Has the question been called on this
yes.
motion?
Question's
well,
been
we haven't had any discussion yet.
I think, Campbell, if you don't mind, I just want to let, there weren't a lot of people on the stack. George had something to say. And,
oh,
I
didn't hear him.
I think you were just being supportive of the motion, right?
yeah, but I didn't hear George on the stack. I thought it was
no problem.
We were ready
thank
for
you.
The question.
Thank you so
also,
much.
Also, Mia Summer after George, please.
Okay, George, Mia Cowan.
Well, you know, I certainly support this, but I have a question, which is really, do such people exist who are willing to do this kind of work as volunteers? Heather, do you have people in mind, or... are we likely to find?
I think that's certainly a very good question, and I think that this is a matter of sort of exploring with the various stations. My experience is that I've found, the volunteers at stations, there's usually someone there who really wants to jump in and help with this and provide information to the public about what the station is doing. I just don't think it's going to be hard to find folks who'll be interested, to be perfectly frank.
Wesley on the stack. Ken to the stack with an amendment.
Wesley, I have you. No problem. Just hang on.
And Carolyn on the stack, please.
Yeah, I have you after Nia. Okay, and then Wesley and Ken. George, were you done? I'm sorry, George. Heather?
I'm done. I support the amendment. I support the motion.
Thank you, George. Okay, so next up is Nia, then Carolyn, then Wesley, then Ken. Go ahead, Nia.
Yeah, I had asked when this was first raised. I'd have to go back to the minutes about the cost and the qualifications of these people, and I'm wondering if that question has been answered. Those questions, rather, have been answered.
Nia, we're not talking to, well, I don't think there's going to be a cost, really. We're not, this is not something that, this is going to be a volunteer position. So we're not going to be paying someone for this, although it would be really good if down the road we could do that. And I think that whatever publicity we're going to be getting out will be electronic. So there's not going to be a cost really associated with this. That's all I have to say about that, actually. Yeah.
And the second part of the question, who's going to determine
the qualifications? We do not have a job description, but we can quickly develop one. And if the board is interested in seeing that prior to this, we could do that as well. But we can easily develop a job description for this position.
Right, so to the stack.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Nia. Okay, so I've got Carolyn, Wesley, Ken, Marcel. Carolyn. Thank you, Heather. And, you know, I'm from K, where this came from. It didn't have all those of the details fleshed out, as I recall, to begin with. It's just, you know, authorizing seeking free publicity. Anyway, go ahead, Carolyn.
This is an interesting proposition, but what are we going to do with the development directors who have been hired and are being paid, whether they're, you know, whatever they're doing now? There are some stations that have paid development directors who I think have in their job descriptions, or should have, the job of a publicist.
If I might jump in here, Carolyn, I think we're discussing these things in some of the other committees, and of course, since those people are employees at this point in time, anything we might decide to do with those positions would be discussed in an executive session until a decision was made. But
I certainly have some thoughts on the matter, and some discussions have been occurring, but I don't see that this motion could be passed regardless of things happening in other areas of the foundation, I think.
Just out of curiosity, then, how many stations exactly have development directors or interim development directors in them? Do we know?
Four that I know of, but Arlene can answer better than I. Do all five have them?
No, it's four.
Four, yeah, okay.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Carolyn, did you have another question for us?
No, I think that was all. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Next on the stack is Wesley, and then Ken, and then Marcel, and then perhaps we could do something with this.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Uh-huh.
All right. It seems to me like a no-brainer. Volunteers who don't need to get paid, I think we need more of them. And rather than consider... And I really hate to cut off debate and everything, but I'm calling the question on this. It seems like a no-brainer, and I think we should vote it up or down where we can move on with the agenda. Thank you.
Okay, well, the question's been called. I must doubt a parliamentary procedure here. Is there an objection to calling the question? Okay, fantastic. Thank you. A yes vote will... Is there any objection to the underlying motion?
Without objection, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Campbell.
Would you summarize the motion, please?
I'm sorry, it hasn't been amended or anything. Heather, could you be kind enough to just go ahead and read the motion verbatim, please?
Yes, the PNB authorizes acquiring 6 unpaid publicists within 30 days of the present date to work at each of the 5-6 stations, and 1 head publicist to coordinate at national office.
Thank you, Heather.
Yeah,
thank you.
So it's Madam Secretary recorded without objection. Thank you, colleagues. Moving on to the next motion. Excellent. The next motion is a programming committee motion from George and the programming committee. Could you go ahead and... I'm sorry, Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, I believe that at the last meeting we decided to move up the technology committee to actually first among committee reports, since it shouldn't take long.
Thank you. I apologize. I completely forgot all about that. Well, does somebody have the technology committee report ready to go? And if George doesn't mind, we'll just go ahead and handle it real quick. Thank you. Who wants to take this then?
I'll take it.
Ken? Okay, good. Yeah, I remember because the quorum issues and stuff. Okay, go for it, please.
The basic issue is that there's not much that can be done because we're not meeting quorum. 20 people, or about 20 people signed up, but only 6 or 7 attend. And we've had our second unquote meeting, you know, quote unquote meeting or gathering or phone calling. This is inherent difficulty because of the permission of 2 directors from every station. So I guess everybody says they want to go to the party, but nobody shows up. It becomes very destructive, and we are at a parliamentary roadblock. So if people want to stop a committee from forming, they can sign up and not attend. No quorum is done, so they didn't really miss it. You can't use the missed 3 meetings rule. Therefore, I submitted a motion, which I don't have in front of me, asking permission from the PNB to operate as a task force, in this case, for the tech committee. All we want. I think that's what the motion was. So you have it there in the agenda from last week?
Yeah, if you give me a minute, I can find it. So, but yeah,
I can
that
read
was,
it if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
The point of order, you actually have it. You should read it. Let's let Bill read it so we have the motion, and then I'll go ahead and put you on stack. Go ahead, Bill. Thank you.
Right. If you have the agenda for April 12th, it's listed there. The motion says that the tech committee be allowed to operate as a task force until such time as the group can be reestablished as a committee.
Beautiful.